All right, welcome everyone. As Will settles in, I'm going to call to order the Town of Heath Select Board meeting. This is Tuesday, January 7th, 2025. Let's see, on our agenda, we had some appointments. Our 505 appointment is being rescheduled, but is feeling well and well wishes to him quickly. 5:30, we have Susan Lively sitting here already smiling. Council on Aging. And then Art's coming at 5:45 for, to talk with us about the tech. And then we have a little bit of other business that we're actually going to move up into the 505. Actually, we'll move a couple other things up first. Public comment, we'll move up. Review of minutes, we'll move up.
What? We have somebody coming for public comment.
Oh, I didn't get that email.
And I, no, because I didn't send it out.
Oh, okay.
Because the person just emailed the middle of the day. No, Bob Bruin said he would like to come and make a public comment, and I told him about 6:15. He might come early, but.
Okay. So we'll move up minutes and then we'll go into the appointment, but we'll do the other business. Anything else for the agenda, Will?
No.
Lisa?
No, thank you.
Alma?
Yes, sure. The, just a brief, I guess, presentation of the packet I just gave you, the DLTA. And then discussion of whether you want to send out a letter with the street lists. Mary asked me. And I said I would ask.
All right. Okay, so we'll get started with the minutes then. Oh, and the meeting's being audio recorded. I almost forgot that. So we're going to look at, you guys got the minutes? We're looking at Town of Heath Select Board meeting minutes for December 30th, 2024.
Yep.
Lisa?
Yes. I had two things on the second page. One, two, three, the fourth section down for Hilltown Youth. There has been no communication from HIPAA. Are we calling it HIPAA now? Period. I'm wondering if we should say there has been no communication from HIPAA regarding whatever the subject is.
Yeah.
It just seems, it's like there's been no communication with them. Okay, communication about what? So, does, am I making sense?
Yes, it is, but there had been no communication from them about anything. But yes, okay.
But specific to the.
But specifically what we're trying to work with.
No, I understand.
License, okay. And then down to Community Hall, the next one down. The last sentence, the deadline for bids is January 6th, so none have been received yet. I'm wondering if maybe we should remove so and put a comma?
Well, put a semicolon.
Or a semicolon, whatever the.
But I can do that.
Grammatical thing is?
Yep.
And that's all I had.
Okay.
Will?
Well, Lisa stole my thunder.
Woo, sorry.
Picked up the second one too. Not the first one, but the second one. That's the only thing I had.
I'm good too. So can I have a motion to accept the Town of Heath Select Board meeting minutes for December 30th, 2024?
So moved?
Second.
Any further discussion?
No.
All in favor? Lisa, aye.
Will, aye.
Robin, aye. All right. So, we're not going to do public comment yet. Okay, go to other business.
I can give you a bunch of dates about, related to the salt shed.
Yeah, that's what we can start at other business.
Oh, okay.
So yeah, we can salt shed first. Go ahead, Alma.
Okay, so we received two quotes for demolishing the old EOC, which I sent you folks in an email. But Tyson and I looked them over. They were equivalent in terms of what work they included And we chose the lower bid for, I think, $6,400 from Richard Hillman. Electric. The electrician came last week to upgrade the electrical panel in the fire station, which was needed for the new alarm equipment. So that was done. Today, Fire Equipment Incorporated came, worked all this morning, and got a bunch of the work done in terms of the upgrade and move. They're coming back tomorrow, and if they need to, they'll come back Thursday to get that all done. Internet. I have coordinated with Whip City Fiber and Northeast IT. Whip City Fiber will come here January 16th and run the new internet cable to the highway department. It's going to be, this equipment's going to be relocated in the highway department. And Northeast IT is sending out a technical team the morning of January 17th to actually move that equipment and reconnect it. And I tried to get it coordinated that way so that the department would have the least amount of downtime possible.
Okay.
So.
Good, thank you.
Yeah.
So will you update the list?
Yeah, I will update the
okay.
list.
Okay.
Yes.
All right.
Mm-hmm. Awesome.
And I think they're working on the hammering of the ledge too.
Yes, they started that
today.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think they rented that jackhammer for today and tomorrow, I believe.
It's perfect.
So.
Yeah. All right. And do we need to do a retro vote for Hillman? I know we kind of did a.
Didn't we?
You did a.
Didn't we leave it up to.
Yeah.
Let Tyson.
You want one.
If you would feel better, I'm fine with it as is.
If you're good. Okay. No, that's fine. You guys good?
I'm good. Will, you good?
You good?
Yep.
Okay.
Fine.
Yeah, I'm just
want to make
sure. Hillman.
Okay. All right, well, that's great. Anything else about the salt shed? Will?
No.
And Lisa?
No, thank you.
Beautiful. Thanks, Elma.
You're very welcome.
Community Hall window project update. Go from happy to not happy.
Yesterday was the deadline to receive bids, and I received zero bids. So
Hilma has shared the list of contractors, entities that she reached out to. I have that list. I'm gonna start making phone calls just to check in and see, or get some feedback as to why they're not bidding. So we have the feedback, and just to see if there's anything about dates or anything, whatever, just kind of see what I can find out.
That was some of what I wondered.
Yeah, I can do that.
Dates.
I'll do that. What was the...
Can we talk to one person out of retiring?
Yeah. Can you remind us, or maybe you need to check, about the dates for completion of that project for the grant? I don't remember
all
those dates.
Well, that crossed my mind too, and I don't know. I have to check on that.
Okay. Will you send that out just so I have it in my head when I'm talking to people? Like if someone said, oh yeah, well I could do it on such and such a day and it would take me this long and I'm willing to put in a bid, but that's too late in the process,
yes.
Then we'd have to maybe start reaching out to the grantor to see if there's an opportunity for extension.
Mm-hmm. Given the circumstances.
Yeah.
Yep.
I mean, especially if we had someone who put that in writing, you know, if we received, could get a bid and they agreed to it on.
Right, but they can't.
Right, meet the schedule. Till. I know we had a little bit of time, but we've used some time now. It's been.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, okay. So if you could send that to me, that would be great.
Yeah, well.
I have one thought. I think you brought it up for Robin, but just an experience in our own house, is that Pella does have an architecture series of windows.
Did you get a chance to call them?
I did not.
That's okay, I'll call them.
And it might be worth looking at that, because you not only get something that looks historic, but you get something that's energy efficient. So you don't have to have extra storms or stuff like that. We have 2x2 windows and they look great. They look like they have wooden mullions. They don't have wavy glass, but it would certainly look pretty good, pretty correct otherwise. Just a thought. As opposed to someone restoring what's there, replace them with architecturally correct windows.
And I don't know if the grant would allow for that, and if we can afford that. Those are the only things we'd have to double check, yeah. Because the grant is specific to restoration.
And the money was raised.
For restoration.
For restoration, not replacement.
Okay, well, just a thought.
Good to talk it out.
Yeah.
I mean, I agree, their historic replacements are far superior, there's no doubt about it.
Right.
Much better for the energy use and everything else in the building. But I think we'd have to do some, I think we need to really expend all energy that we can on the restoration project, and if we fail, then we have to figure out what is the next step.
Right.
Yeah. But I will call Pella also, as well as that list that you shared, Helma.
Okay.
Well, some of them. All right, and the appraisal update. And so, what's the gentleman's name again?
Kitchell.
Kitchell. I was gonna say that. That's not what I was gonna say. Funny how both appraisers have interesting names, isn't it? Kim and Kitchell.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and Kitchell's last name was, no, maybe it's Lee.
I don't remember.
No, it's Lee, sorry, never mind that.
So last we heard he wanted to come up to visit.
Mm-hmm.
Is he visiting?
I haven't heard back from him.
Okay.
I offered him that I could do it almost every day this week, and except middle of the day tomorrow, when that was last week, and I haven't heard back.
Okay.
Anything.
Please, somebody holler to me when I get to, if it's 5:30 and I'm still talking. I've really done a lot, and this is just where I've been thinking a lot about this whole appraisal project, which I think is still a good idea, and I think it's a good idea to do it. But I'm also feeling a push towards, and this is tying this into the next line item, which is the Hilltown Youth license discussion. So I'm kind of tying the two of these together right now, because this appraisal project was to help with that process as well, the license or lease. I'm starting to feel like it may be a benefit to proceed with the request for proposal simultaneously while this is going along. Or maybe at some point we decide we don't need to do this, but I've been thinking through the communications that are going to be coming up in the next 2 weeks. Hopefully next week at our meeting, we'll have received a list of talking points from Hilltown Youth about the license that we sent, you know, their review, and they're supposed to have something back to us by Thursday, actually, of this week, so that gives us an opportunity to discuss it before they come in on the 21st, which is the following Tuesday. So the hope is that next Tuesday on the 14th, we can talk about their talking points and our own feelings and, you know, everything that we've, the concerns we've had, and then the following week we'll be having them here with us. Based on kind of what we've heard in the past and where I think things are going and the communications that people have been having and what I hear, what Jonathan has been saying, I think that making a decision if the select board thinks it's in the best interest of the town to continue leasing is an important decision that needs to be made. And if the answer is yes, then I think it may be of benefit to seek out proposals as and allow Hilltown the opportunity to respond to that RFP should they want to. I sometimes feel that the back and forth that happened last year, or actually however long ago now it started, about how much a space is worth and how much time we use and what's the value and mm-hmm. all of that. I think that having a guide, which the appraisal was gonna help, but yet it wasn't gonna be the answer, I don't think, in my mind. I think that having somebody put forth a proposal to us to review as to from a request that we create, mm-hmm. right? We create the guidelines for which we want to continue the process of leasing if we still feel it's in the best interest to continue down that path, right? Those are the decisions we have to make. We've been promoting leasing of spaces that are available in different buildings in an attempt to bring funds to the town to help pay, offset the cost of having the buildings. So from a business point of view, to mm-hmm. me, leasing still makes sense, right? Mm-hmm. If you can get income, but it only makes sense if it's really helping with the budget and it's not, if there aren't, you know, outcroppings or offshoots of issues that create, that maybe cost more money or take more time, which takes money or whatever it is. I'm not pointing any fingers at anything in particular. I'm only trying to enter into the conversation again with you guys about whether leasing in this building in particular, and does that make sense? Is it something we want to do? Previous conversations obviously happened without you guys here, so mm-hmm. I would be very interested to hear what your feelings are, and I'm not putting you on the spot right now because I haven't really had a chance to say this until now, but you know, if you want to think about it, whatever, that's fine. And I'm not suggesting that Hill must stop on the process with Kitchell, like if he calls up and he says he wants to come here on January 15th, 16th, whatever it is, I still think that that should happen. Mm-hmm. I would still like that to happen. I just think simultaneously we need to be talking over the rest of this month. What, and into February, what is the best process that we move forward with? Business part of me, like I said, makes sense to lease. But it doesn't make sense to do it the way we're doing it now. I think there has to be more discussion from us about how that whole process of leasing gets taken care of, like who's responsible for each part of the lease, who's responsible for communication. There has to be a big continued conversation, I think. And I say that only, well, because it just should in general, but I think that in the time that when Hilma transitions to becomes a new person, this is gonna be this part of the job or not part of the job. So a lot that I have there.
I think the more, first of all, I do think that it makes good business sense for the town to lease the spaces that we have available. As long as it's worth the effort and not causing, like you mentioned, more time spend on people who aren't really supposed to be doing it. Just, as long as it's working in our advantage and not creating more work. The more spaces we lease, the more I think we do need a dedicated person, whoever that may be, to manage and oversee the leases or licenses, whichever we're involved mm-hmm. in. Because there'll be more to attend to and stay on top of and so forth. So, but I think the two, and Hilma can correct me if I'm wrong, I think the two licenses that we currently have going at Sawyer Hall, I think they've been going smoothly, I think. you haven't had any issues.
Oh, no, they're awesome. I was just gonna say, it makes a big difference who the tenant is.
So it makes, yeah, so it has the opportunity to work well. And I think it helps provide sustainability for our town, which is most important to me.
Mm-hmm.
The idea of doing both, seeking both the appraiser and putting out RFPs, I think it's great to cover both bases. Is there any disadvantage to pursuing both of those at the same time?
In my mind, we only pursue, you know, if we decide that sending out our request,
mm-hmm.
you know, just delving into that, we only continue the process with Kitchell until we know exactly what the cost is, because we don't know that yet, right? He still wanted to come back to be able to.
Yeah, but he gave us a ballpark.
He gave us like a ballpark.
$3,000.
But he wanted to come back before he sent the contract.
Yes,
so
right.
I think that we can have him do that visit and have him send us a contract for review, but it may not be something that we necessarily need if we decide to, or not need in a couple months, but I don't know. It's just money, right? It's not invaluable information that will be gained, it's just money.
Right. We've already initiated the process as well.
Yes.
Right?
But we did that. To determine the need for sending out requests for proposals.
Mm-hmm.
It's always been an option to just say, well, we're just gonna do it. We're just gonna send out a request for proposal.
And I think it also, based on the information, depends on it, helps guide us if we're doing a lease or a license with a particular tenant. Is that correct?
Yes.
Right? So
yes.
we need
but
that
it's
information.
Still only it's still something that has to be revisited every year.
Every year, which that is an expense every year. Is that correct? If you're dealing with a lease, right? Versus a license, you don't have to revisit that every year.
Well, the license, well, yeah, because you need out of the license.
You still have to
revisit it. You revisit it,
you redate it.
You resign it and everything else. But that's a challenge. That's becoming a challenge.
Mm-hmm. What part is becoming a challenge?
So every year revisiting.
Mm-hmm.
So if the select board issues a request, we are creating the document for which we're saying, if you are interested in this space, this is what you gotta abide by. We're putting it out there.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way I see it. Like we're taking a step and saying, we have three rooms, you know, 900 square foot room, an 1100 square foot room, 1100 square foot room, for the purpose of whatever, I'll just say education, whatever it is, whatever we want to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And these are the rules. This is what it'll be, boom, 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 whether, you know, talk about the how you get in and out of the building, what you're responsible to clean, all the structures there.
All the structure we need.
And when you respond, when you reply to it, you're replying to what was there.
Mm-hmm.
Now, anyone who responds has the opportunity to say, well, I am responding to all this, but I take issue with X, Y, and Z, and offer up something else.
Mm-hmm.
But it's creating, it's the doc, the expectation is right up front. And it's clear for us, and it's clear for the people. The negotiation that come afterwards, yeah, we can or not.
Mm-hmm.
We can say no, it is what it is. Take it or leave it.
Mm-hmm.
I think for us, a benefit to doing it is we will see if there are really, who is really interested in leasing space here, right? If you put it out there, you market it, you send it out, you get it out, you get to see, people get to see whether anybody else is interested in the space or anybody at all is interested in the space.
Mm-hmm.
And we decide whether we wanna put a minimum value to it. We decide if we just want people to offer. I mean, we get to make those decisions, and if we put a minimal value to it and somebody people are, you're basically, you're responding, if you really want that space, you've got to give a good offer, or your offer could get turned down by somebody else. So you will see what people are willing to actually put forth for a value themselves at the space, right? How much they're willing to pay. There's always been an argument in the meeting recently that there aren't people out there willing to pay what we've been asking for. Mm-hmm. The only way to know that is to see.
Yeah, we don't know that for a fact.
Right. Mm-hmm. But we could learn that that's the truth. We have to be ready for both sides of that, right? Mm-hmm. We gotta be ready for both sides of
Robin,
the reality.
Yeah,
Pat?
What did Tri-Wire pay for the room that they rented? Do you remember?
I don't remember. $450? Why does $450 just jump in my head?
I don't remember.
I don't know why that number just came out of
But
and Robin, it's $527, just so you know.
Oh, it is?
Were,
okay.
I will say they were a simple tenant.
Oh, yeah.
Just like the two tenants we
I don't think it was $1,000. For some reason, but I don't. It might have been. Honestly,
no,
I don't remember. I don't think
thousand.
It was that much.
Because that
Larry
room,
was.
For them, that
huh?
was
Larry
mostly
was
just
Larry.
Storage.
Yeah, the school, the educational. That's where the $1,000 came from originally. So we'll get back into that conversation. Well, we got 3 minutes actually. It's 5:27.
Right.
So you have something?
Yeah.
A thought
just,
quick that yeah.
Quick regarding this. Also, we need a list of what are allowed uses.
Mm-hmm.
For rooms, for instance, you know, we don't want someone like building explosives in there.
Right.
You know, some
right.
obvious things.
So if we go out for RFP, yes, we
yeah.
need to be specific as to what
right.
we would allow or not allow.
Right.
Okay. And then we could turn them all down. We put that right in the request that the select board reserves the right to basically not accept any of the proposals.
Mm-hmm.
So on top of the just the update on Kitchell, that was kind of something I wanted to put out there for a conversation.
The other thing to remember too is that we have some things in this building we didn't have originally, like a generator, better lighting.
We've added value, yes.
So
right,
you know, all these things are changing for the better. Meaning you could A, you may attract more tenants,
mm-hmm.
and B, you can probably ask more.
Right.
So, yes.
The generator work the entire building?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Everything in the building works with the generator?
Yep. Yeah. Yep. All right. Well, we'll come back to that.
Sure.
We'll circle right back to that.
You betcha.
After our guests. Sue.
Hi, everybody.
Hi. Survey results report.
Yeah.
Council on Aging.
This is just the beginning. I wanted to just come and talk to you a little bit about the report before we send you the huge Excel file that goes with this.
Oh, boy.
And the multiple pages of comments that have been typed up. So this is for the age and dementia-friendly
wow.
community grant program that the town applied for. It is really your program and through your survey that the Council on Aging took it on because you guys don't have time to do it.
Mm-hmm.
We owe an enormous amount of gratitude and thank you to Dina and Cynthia and Gail, who were the subcommittee who put all of this together.
Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah,
thank
I've
you.
Thanked them 100 times. can't thank them enough. One of them, nobody seems to take credit for, came up with the idea of handing this out the day of voting. It was genius. We got a little over 200 responses, and most of the people did them that day.
Mm-hmm.
They sat right down and did them for us, and we've had a couple more come in during the Christmas holiday time, so there's still a couple more to record, but we're like around 205, which is a third of our community. there will be two files to send to you. One file is the Excel file, which shows all of the results in detail for each question. Each survey was numbered so that we can go back and look, because in the Excel file, and then in the comment file, if you look at the comment and you go, oh, look at number 9, that's an odd comment. I wonder how they fill that out in the survey. You can look at line 9 and you know that's them. So you can compare to see how comments are supported by what they did on the survey. So just to give you a little bit of an idea of what we were getting so far, I gave you a little sample there from our sheet. The age range of people who filled out the survey is a range of 18 to 90. So we have quite a representation. And it shows you there how many people in each age group there were. The gender was pretty equal between male and female. So we have a good representation of both male and female and one non-binary. The marital status, it shows you that we have a variety there, although most of them are married. The employment status shows that we have a lot of employed people and almost as equal a number of retired people who filled out the survey. So we were feeling like the survey has probably given us a pretty nice range of the town of Heath. There were 21 questions on there. I picked number 10 because it's something we have often talked about at select board meetings, which is communication. And that question what is the best way for you to learn about town events, meetings, calls for volunteers, resources, and other offerings? These are the things that were recorded that they could choose from. And you can see how many people chose each different category. So the bulletin boards in Sawyer Hall, Jacobs Road, the town center sign, the town newsletter, I'll come back to that. Heath Connects, all around Heath, someone to call you, and then other. And then the other is shown in the comments underneath. Surveys are very hard to write, and to write them well. And this is one example of a place where there is some confusion, because we don't have a town newsletter. But that's what our survey said. And many people checked off the town newsletter. It is our assumption that they meant the Heath Herald. Mm. But we don't know. And we know that some people wrote in Heath Herald and said, we don't have a town newsletter. So, you know, you have to really be careful when you start analyzing some of the results and looking at them. But it was very clear that the town newsletter, whatever it is, and Heath Connects was a really critical one, and the Facebook page were all pretty popular, and the bulletin board in Sawyer Hall. Mm-hmm. But it just shows you how the breakdown. People could choose more than one thing. And then I went through the comment part. I don't know if I got every comment that was on question 10. But there are quite a few comments there. Several references to just one thing, like they got information from the library, the West County Shopper, the post office, the emergency call center, from a friend, from the Town of Heath website. There were several people. And see, that should have been part of the survey, and it wasn't. And, you know, something we missed. We should have had it listed. Mm-hmm. And we didn't. The Heath Herald. And then there were a couple of comments. One individual made the comment that on 10-3, which is the town center sign, that sign that has minimal information, which it does. 10-4 doesn't exist. 10-6, they thought it was a biased unofficial publication. 10-7, not well maintained. 10-8, need an official, unbiased monthly newsletter. And then another individual made comments like, usually they find out things after the fact. The website is hit or miss, is old news, minutes aren't up to date. They're not on Facebook, so that's not accessible for them. They don't go to Jacobs Road. So, you know, it gives you some general information, and we have that for every question. all 21 of them. So we are going to start going through and evaluating that. We're looking at ways to do it. Dina has set up the Excel sheet so that there are already probably 6 or 7 tabs on there that you can, that start, are starting to break some things down. She can, for instance, there's a question, number 17, we call it the depression question. And it was, do you ever feel isolated or alone in heat? And there were over 30 responses to that one, as people saying, yes, they did. It's worrisome and disturbing to think that that many people in our town are feeling that way. But we don't know who they are, so we can't do a whole lot about it. But we did ask her, can you tell us what the age groups were of these people so that we can see, is it all senior citizens maybe who are widowed or divorced and are alone, are they the ones? Or is it all really young kids, teenagers or in their 20s? Are they the ones who are feeling isolated because they don't have enough contact with their age mates? So she was able to take it and break it down by the ages. So we can do that with any question. We can break it down. We could say, how many men felt like that? How many women felt like that? You know, we can really break it down into those details. We just have to figure out what details we want. Mm-hmm. And some of the information will be useful and some of it won't. Some of it really needs to go to other organizations. Some of it needs to go to the Board of Health, because there's things there that I think would be important to them. Maybe Parks and Rec, because there were questions on there about things to do in town. Some of those questions could be shared with Parks and Rec so that they can see what's there. So there's a whole bunch of analysis now that has to be done. And when you guys get it and you look at it, or you know, if you have certain feedback that you want us to look at, certain things you want us to break down, please let us know so that we can ask Dina to do that for us. So that's really, I just wanted you to know a little bit about what was coming at you before you saw this huge file that's going to land in your laps, because it's quite lengthy, and to know that you have to look at it kind of with a grain of salt. There was one thing in there under things that you would like to see the Council on Aging maintain, have available to people, like the foot clinic and those things. And one of the answers on there was a Heath, I'm sorry, I said it wrong, and that's why it's bad. They would like a help library. And there were quite a few people who checked off a help library. And it just didn't strike me right. I kept thinking, why would they want us to have, there's so much available on the internet. The library doesn't get a lot of requests for help information. And then Dina was looking at it and she said, oh, it says Heath Library. That's how people were reading it. It said help, but I'm pretty sure. She said, when I looked at it, that's how I read it. I read it at Heath Library. So, you know, you have to kind of look at things and think about what they really mean. So that's where we're at. We're going to continue to work on it through the winter. Any feedback you have?
I think it's great that you have that many returns.
Yeah. Absolutely.
It's over 200. That's really good.
It was
really
just genius.
Good.
And people were so cooperative. There were a couple of people who tried to sneak by us. if they even weren't there. Mm-hmm. But just about every single person who came through sat down and filled it out. And a few of them brought them home, and they have returned them. So to get that kind of a response.
That's great. And the age range is great.
Yeah,
there were
people as young
as 18 that filled it out.
I think it really is a good representation of the town. I suppose we could, if you really wanted to wait and spend the time doing it, you could actually compare it to the real percentages of the town. Like if 20% of the people on here who responded were seniors, or 20% of the people into
right.
seniors?
Seniors.
Is it a reference?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Does it represent that?
Well, and it is impressive that it's pretty split, male, female, but I think getting people at voting, that was a smart idea.
Yeah. It was just
people come in, couples come in, yeah.
And
good way to
they didn't, and you know, when we told them it's gonna take you about 10-15 minutes to do this, and they said, oh yeah, that's fine, we'll do it.
Wow.
They were wonderful. They were just so cooperative. So it was, you know, it was really a good method for getting some information from a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
So that's, I just wanted to fill you in where we stood and let us know if there's something that strikes you and you would like more information. We'll see.
It's going to be interesting to see the full report.
We've got to figure out how we're going to do that.
Put it together.
Yeah.
You know, and how are we going to summarize this report to give information that's complete enough, but not
like reading everything.
Eyes roll back in their head.
Right.
You know, we really have to take a look at that, and we know some of the questions are probably important to me, but some of them really aren't. You know, like I don't really care how many people. Use new Burke and he.
Yes. Zero.
You know, so, and they put it in there and they said, well, you know, we want to show ARPA that they don't use that because we don't have it. I said, okay, I suppose that's valid, but.
How is it that we had a question about a town newsletter when we don't have a town newsletter?
Yeah.
Why was that a question on there?
Well, you know, I think that they copied a lot of this
okay.
from, ARPA sends you a sample survey, which is probably at least twice as long as the one that we did.
Mm-hmm.
And so they went through and redesigned it to make it more friendly for us.
Yeah, I was noticing when I was filling my survey out, I was like, why am I being asked this question? We don't have this here.
And I think
I don't know what to say.
Because the decision had been made that we were going to do it on voting day, we didn't, I think we would have gone through it more thoroughly and probably corrected some things that if we'd had more time with it, but we didn't have the time. And there were things that were, you know, when you look back, they're no-brainers. Like, you can't just say yes and no. Sometimes you got to say maybe.
Mm-hmm.
And we didn't put a maybe on some of them. You know, it was that kind of stuff. But,
But I think this information is going to be so valuable.
Yeah.
I'm really excited to see.
Yeah.
The
so hopefully it will help us get somewhere with ARPA.
Yeah. Great.
Great.
Thanks for doing it.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you. It was fun.
You're welcome.
Thank you very much.
Greatly appreciated. We'll have another conversation after we see the results.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That'll be interesting.
It's interesting.
All right, and perfect timing, I think. Right? Right?
Yeah.
All right. There's snacks if over against the wall if anyone's interested in having a little snack, help yourself. Hi, Art.
Hi there.
How are you?
I'm well.
So you are up next with us.
Okay.
For tech school.
Tech school didn't trust me to do it myself.
I see that. I see that. I see. I see.
We trust you.
I see. All right.
But, yeah, I'm here.
So, a little backstory. I reached out to Art the end of last year, fall. So, I don't know.
Last fall. Yeah.
September. And said, Art, we spend so much time in these meetings talking about Mohawk Trail Regional School District. I feel like I'm missing a huge piece with tech. Maybe partially because of all of the work that I know that's happening over there, but because our numbers keep increasing. We have kids that are going there. The select board needs to be more involved. So we had that conversation, and the end result was Art would come in a couple times, three times, four times, whatever we decide, a year, and kind of give us an update. Since then, we've talked about Art sharing with the select board. I mentioned this at the last meeting. Art sharing with the select board the packet that gets sent out that folks that gives the folks that are
school committee.
School committee. Thank you. I all of a sudden lost my train of thought. So those will be sent to us and put in our mail, just for our FYI, when they come through.
I sent them out.
Yeah.
Oh.
As I said.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, I see. I'm sorry.
Yeah. I'm giving the people at home the... This is audio recorded, so I always give like a little lead-in.
A little extra spiel.
Little spiel. So the select board will be getting those on a regular basis, and Art's going to point out anything that we really need to focus on or tell us if we need to meet. But thank you for coming. So we also have to do our little introductions so that people listen later. So I'm Robin Provost. I'm the chair.
How are you doing, Robin?
I'm good. How are you?
And I'm Will Emmett, member of the select board.
I'm Elisa Viaringo, select board.
I'm the town coordinator, Hilma something.
There you go.
I just take minutes.
So welcome. I'm turning it over to you.
Oh, well. What do you want to know? We've got the answers.
You're just going to give us
a brief overview?
Yeah, we're going to give
a
little speech.
What do you want to sure. Say? Well, I was just going to say just a couple things to start with. I mean, a lot of people don't know much about the tech school, even though... Okay. Information has always been available, and is actually, I think, one of the schools in the area where it's most available, the information about what's happening. The budget, all the expenses, the membership plans, and what their roles are in the tech, it's been quite a open, public organization that really, it's easy to find out the answers to whatever you want to know. So, and right now, the tech school is really in a great place. It's expanded a little this year. It's got a couple of new trade areas, the aviation, I don't know, is it aviation mechanics technician, or is it aviation, what's the?
Aviation maintenance technician.
Okay, maintenance technician. There's two different names in here.
Yep.
It's new, so it's still getting its name adjusted. And the veterinary assistant program as well. And there are approximately 640 kids total are at the school. 590 of those are from in-district schools. And the other 50 are from towns that aren't members of the school district or are in Vermont or New Hampshire, a couple of kids from each of those states, which actually benefits us because they get charged more than the in-state kids. So with that little introduction, just let me say one more thing, and that is that those of you that have seen Rick here at town meetings or Russ Cobras, his assistant, the business assistant. You know that there's a lot of information available. It's a great school. We're sending, I think, 11 kids there this year, enrolled there from Heath. The numbers have gone from like 6 to 9 to 11.
Mm-hmm.
I think 11 is the most we've had for a while. Heath gets a pretty good deal out of it. If you look at the budget figures, the cost per student, for example, is a little lower here in Heath than it is in some of the other towns because of the way it gets figured. But it is more expensive than a Mohawk student per student, but it you get more out of it as well. There's more to it. It's still a school that operates for the student half and half. They just spend half the year doing their shop, learning the skills that they're learning for their profession, and the other half they're doing academics. The interesting thing is that on the academic side, they have to meet the same standards as in the comprehensive high schools. So there's a lot of pressure on math and English and associated academic subjects in the off weeks. They do a week on the shop and then a week of academics and
mm-hmm.
that kind of thing. And it's there's a different attitude in the school than you find in the regular comprehensive high schools as well. The students are treated like adults until they start behaving differently. it's the atmosphere is really a great place. It's worth going to the sports events or to go to the events that they have at the school, because you get a sense of that when you visit. But Rick, you want to take it from there?
Sure. I'm Rick Martin. I'm the school superintendent. Been at the tech school now for 17 years. And we have 13 students from Heat this particular year, up from 11, so the assessment will go up by 2 students. Your assessment cost per pupil is $8,700, which is lower than our average, just the way that they calculate the formula at the state level. And that's actually less than the member school districts in the area. I mean, less than Pioneer or Mohawk or what have you. It's just the way that it seems to work out. You currently have 2 graduating seniors going to be coming. So I always want to look at, okay, how many graduating seniors you have versus how many incoming applications we have. So we currently have 7 incoming. So 2 are going out, 7 coming in. So your assessment goes from 13 to 18 in a year's time as of now, right? So this is why I like coming to these things. So the towns can start to plan and get an idea on what's coming down the pike. As Art said, we had added a couple of new shop programs, basically on industry demands. You know, they can't replace aviation mechanic technicians, and we needed a program. So I wrote a grant. We got about $5 million total. We were able to do it without taxpayer dollars, without assessments increased to the towns. And we have a big blue 12,000 square foot hangar sitting there. We have 8 aircraft, and we're getting ready to get these kids to take off. That's a joke. And
that's what you think.
And then we just finished veterinary science building. It's a separate building. It's 4,800 square feet with all new equipment, again through a grant. All the new equipment that we have throughout the building, we have $9.2 million worth of new stuff over the last 7 years due to competitive grants, not entitlement grants, but just due to the entitlement grant, which has enabled us to do quite a bit without having to come to the towns. And it allows us to keep our town assessment. So if we want to know what's the increase above and beyond foundation, it will be 3%. That's been 3% for the last 7-8 years. We can keep it at 3% because we're utilizing, you'll see in our budget book, which won't be finalized until the governor's numbers come out at the end of January. So when the numbers come out at the end of January, invite me back. I'll break down everything involving Heat and how the budget impacts Heat moving forward. So we don't have the exact numbers until the end of January, but we're looking forward to that. But we are able to pull from excess and deficiencies and our tuition. You heard Art talk about those students that aren't members. So a student coming from Charlemont paying around $25,000 a year, right? So it's a big difference, you know, if you're a member town versus a non-member town. And I think this one has like 8 kids. So it does have a financial burden to the towns on that impact. But we take that money, we roll it back into our operating budget, keeps our assessments at 3%. We can be pretty consistent with that because we just utilize that tuition revolving money to offset the increase of assessments that we would be needing to go out to the towns. We are an aging building, we're 50 years old. We have been approved for a brand new one. It could be a base renovation, it could be a renovation, it could be a new building. We don't know, we're going through the design phase right now. How do we get there? Like, why do we need a new building, right? That's the question I'm in your seat, like, why, right? Well, over the last 10 years, we have pumped in hundreds of thousands and now over millions of dollars worth of infrastructure to keep our building viable. For instance, just last year, our electrical switchgear went. We had the foresight through our building committee task force to buy a refurbished one and have it ready because we knew it might go. If we didn't have that ready, which took over 2.5 months to get it, because they have to make it brand new because it's from Federal Pacific, a company that doesn't even exist anymore. And you're not in your head, like, you might know what I'm talking about, right? And so the old electrical switchgear, that would have shut down our school at Franklin County Tech for 2.5 months. We wouldn't have been able to be at all in operation. There are 11 of those set switchgears. We had to buy 4 more since then. And they range from $50,000 to $200,000 apiece, right? So we're doing that. We put a new roof on about 9 years ago. Well, it's got a roof life of 15 years. It's already beginning to leak. We can no longer, that was a silicone roof. It wasn't a new roof. It was just a silicone roof just to go over the existing silicone roof. And they said, well, you can only do 2 of those because the next one has to be a tear down and breakdown. That's $25 million. When it does get to that. And if we were going to expand, because we had to get rid of our assembly hall, turn it into 4 classrooms because our enrollment has grown, right? Well, we were gonna have to do that. That was a huge bump in our, that was a huge hit to our school. So the other thing is, as soon as we add on 1 inch to our school building currently, we have to outfit it with all modernized sprinkler systems and it cost over $12 million. So when we started adding everything up, why keep going back to the town? Now at some point, we're gonna have to come to the town for this. So why do that and let's just get it over with, because it's been 50 years. They came into our building, they saw all that, it looks great on the outside. It looks wonderful, beautiful building. But the inside of it is kind of rotten away. So they put us to the top of the list. They put us number one for the funding. So the reimbursement rate to the towns would be approximately 65%. And the question you might be asking is how much would that building cost? We don't know for another year. Because right now they're doing the feasibility study. We're gonna get a cost, what a renovation might look like, what a new building might look like, what a renovation with an addition might look like. So we're in that process. We do have a capital stabilization fund that we went out to the towns 8 years ago that you helped support as well. And what was that used for? Well, we had the foresight to know at some point we're gonna go back to the MSBA. We don't wanna burden the towns twice. We don't wanna go out to the vote for a feasibility study and then 2 years later go out for a core building project. So we took the capital stabilization money and we were able to fund the $1.5 million feasibility study. And now I wouldn't want to go out to the towns for that because that comes with a bonding and that stays on your record forever. This way we just got it done, we save, in the long run, we save our town's money when we plan ahead like that. So that's where we are with our enrollment, that's where we are with the new building, kind of a little bit of a background where we are with our vocational shops, and as we mentioned, we're pretty healthy with our enrollment, and that's where we're at. I've taken any questions.
Thank you. Will, go ahead.
Just a comment. I did leave a message with you. It was probably during budgeting time or whatever with your secretary, but a contact of mine at Westover Air Reserve Base has some contacts at Davis Monthan, the Boneyard, and they donate aircraft to schools who have set of programs.
What's his name?
I've got it on my phone.
I got to help these kids out.
But this is done, as a rule, has been done. Past where they might don't. I think we have to figure out how to get it from Westover to your school. But
I get trailers. I get trucks ready. I'll go myself. Go pick it up.
So anyway, I have the details that I can supply.
Yeah,
you.
Can you please reach out again to? I'll reach out to and he'll get you all my contact personally. Like you get my cell phone, call me up.
As I say, I called your secretary, but it was during budgeting.
Let's bypass that and go into my phone. All right.
Okay. But very impressive.
That's great. It is impressive.
And I would love to come back at some point to present our budget to you, so you have really concrete numbers,
that
so you can go
great.
Out
that
before
be really
town
nice.
Meeting
yeah.
and say, here's
yeah.
what it is.
That's a healthy number of kids that are going to be going next year to Tech.
Yeah, that's cool.
Okay.
That's really wonderful.
The program where the kids go out. This is the first year at Morian Schmidt that we have a carpentry student from the Tech. This is the first year we've done that, and it's really cool.
We have 104
really cool.
students out on paid co-op every other day.
Wow.
It's going to go up to probably 130, 140 once the juniors qualify. They qualify, I think, next week. And then they get to go out.
To go out, yeah.
Right? So we're going to have, when I first arrived 17 years ago, we had 4 kids on paid co-op.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was really, we've never done it, and finally bit the bullet. And
it's really remarkable for everyone, including the crew that is already working, to work with the individual who came. It was also shook it up a little bit because my crew is all men and the individual who came is a woman.
Nice. So, love it.
Coffee shop, I think, is almost 50-50.
So we were, that's really good. So yeah, it was pretty nice. She does an amazing job. The school does really, really well. It's a great opportunity because that's how the kids who are being taught what they're taught at the school actually figure out whether it's going to work for them when they get out into the field and how, you know, what direction they want to take from there. So.
Right.
Well, I knew Heath was in trouble with the enrollment 2 years ago when we had an open house on a Saturday. And so I always ask him at the front door, so what town are you from? Heath, what town are you from? Heath, what town are you from? Heath. I go, we only got 2 kids from Heath. Right?
A lot of interest.
And we knew it was just going to snowball. It just goes in those hills and valleys. Yeah. You know, it won't stay at this level. It'll drop down. Yeah. That's the way it goes.
Sounds like you need a roofing program.
Yeah.
Get your students up on the roof.
Yeah. I agree.
No, this all sounds so exciting and really thrilling, and I want to go back to school all of a sudden.
We definitely should go over and check it out.
I would love to.
Yeah,
I'm
really
glad to spend my time and take you on a tour for each of the shop programs.
Yeah.
Do the culinary students still do a lunch?
Yes, and it's probably still one of the best deals. You can get a 3-course meal lunch for around $10. Mm-hmm. And it's and the desserts are to die for. You don't even want to walk by the case.
Yeah. That's why they serve it last.
It's a good, because they're learning the skills. So you'll get like chicken cordon bleu for lunch with the vegetables and everything like that. It's are you kidding me? With gravy and everything, it's perfect. Mm-hmm. That's a lunch. I'd probably need a couch after I go there.
And go get your hair done too.
Oh,
yeah.
Right. Yes.
Does it look like As a matter of fact, there's a heathen that does she run that department?
Yes. Electra.
Electra?
Yeah. And she's from here in town.
Yeah, that's what I said. There's a heathen there. You go and have it. So it's very cool. Bob.
I just need to ask Art, do school committee members still get free lunch? Because when I was on the school committee, I went in there and I got free lunch every time I visited.
When was the school committee meeting? In the middle of the day?
No, I would go. You know?
Oh, you know, I've never asked.
Oh, well.
I did get a jacket that says school committee on it.
Oh, cool.
I wore that to a wrestling meet tournament down in Wilbraham or somewhere down there near Springfield.
Yeah.
And one of the people came around and said, school committee, you know, Frank John Tech. He came up and he said, you on the school committee? I said, yeah. Did you buy that or did they give that to you? He said, I'm on the school committee here. We don't get anything like that.
That's why I needed to know. You know, what are the perks?
There are perks, though.
Oh, yeah.
The town, he's done pretty well. We got all those lights fixed up in the electrical
shop. Yeah, the electrical shop's been here quite a few times for the different projects, which is great.
Of course, we paid them back by, you know, giving them free parking out here for a while.
It's all right.
Yeah, most of the winter was here.
It's okay. All right. Sue and then Barbara.
Yeah. Do all of the Heath children who apply get in, or is part of the application process an interview and an approval to be?
Yeah, so they still have to go through the approval process. We have to review their grades, attendance, student discipline, recommendation letters, and then they come in for an open house and we have an interview. So they still have to go through the process, and all of that is an employability skill.
Mm-hmm.
So we see where they are there, and we do run a course called Career Enhancements, which will teach the students handshake, eye contact, tone of voice, how to do your elevated speech, all that kind of stuff. So they start to build those kind of skills, but the first development of that is the interview itself. But they still have to go through it. Not all Heath students qualify.
Mm-hmm.
That does happen.
I knew that was true for tuitioning students, but I wasn't sure if it was true for towns that were part or were members.
Right.
Barbara.
I just was curious about transportation. So Heath students going to town, how did they get there?
by our bus. We provide the transportation. It's 561 square miles of geographic territory that we have to cover through bus routes. So we have among the highest. So there's another thing that happens with tuition revolving funds, and they help us with our regional transportation. We only get reimbursed out of about $1.2 million in our transportation. We get
right.
reimbursed about $800,000. So who pays the other $400,000?
We do. Yeah.
So these are the things that don't apply to regular school districts. That just have the, you know, if you get a one-town type of school district, there is none of that. It's 100% funded, but not here. So it's...
So are they collected at their homes, or is there a central location,
there
or...?
Is, it depends on the route. It's generally a longer route, and they'll have several stops. Usually they're not allowed to, well, they are not allowed to walk more than a mile, so get dropped off. And it's generally, in Heath, I know there's a center spot in the middle of town. And I don't, there's probably some other areas, but as long as the student's not walking more than that mile, mile and a half, I forget exactly what it is.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. Well, I have one more question, and that is, and that is, where does Franklin Tech place in geographical area with other technical schools in the state? Does it serve a much larger geographical area? Is it in the middle?
Let me give you an example. We have the largest geographical, right?
Yep.
In the entire state by far. The next largest regional school district, geographically, is the Mohawk School District with 220 square miles of space. So we're 560, they're 220, and the next after that is down to like 80 or 90, right? So from a vocational standpoint, we are easily 5 or 10 times larger than number two, geographically speaking. And they don't have the regional transportation problems that we do. I wonder why. And that was a promise of the state many years ago, that they were going to refund regional school districts if they were able to do that 100% of that cost. And then their little line in five font said, if appropriations are available.
Right.
Let me guess.
They're not available.
They you know, they have gone as high as 84, 85%. I think, you know, we budget about 65% to be conservative about it, because they go like this depending on what they have for a budget, so.
In the old days, Heath had a lot of control over the tech school, especially in the wintertime, because when there was weather coming in, the call went from the superintendent, not, it was before Rick's time, but it used to go from the superintendent to the highway boss here,
yeah,
to see what the weather was. And if they didn't want to send the kids to school that day, they would say, well, it's icy here.
But I changed that a little bit, so now I have a special thing in my school reach call that just does the hill towns. So we can give them an exemption and still have everybody else
show up.
Yeah,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah. That's good. Well, I think it's a great school. What else? Questions?
Very impressed.
Questions?
No, just super impressed. Thank you.
Questions from people that are here? Anybody else? Well, thank you.
Thank
I
you.
Appreciate both of you coming. Yes, Art?
So I will endeavor to send, have the packet that the school committee gets sent after the school committee meeting.
Yeah.
Before the school committee meets, that's not really public.
No.
But as soon as it gets discussed and voted on,
yep.
I'll send the minutes and whatever else information.
That's
the
great.
The next batch coming will probably have, well, the next one and the one after in January will have the budget, proposed budget figure.
Yeah, you'll get, we'll go over the first reading of the budget. The way that it works is in February's meeting.
Okay.
That's the second Wednesday in February that we meet. And then the school committee will then have 1 month to deliberate on that first meeting. And we have a final budget that's done the second week of March. That whole budget book then gets sent out to all of our member towns. So then you can start to navigate how you're going to do your town meetings.
Great.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Well, one more question.
I have one more question. I'm
sure.
Sorry.
Oh, no problem.
Do you guys, do you go to, for instance, we have the Heath Fairgrounds up in town.
Yeah.
Do you come up and do light construction, that kind of stuff? Do you send crews up or not? You don't do that?
You know, that's something we would be open to. You know, upon an invitation, we're open to anything.
Yeah.
You know,
it's not, it would be nothing major. It's
yeah.
Just, you know.
We'd be definitely open to that. I can, you can contact the school. We can put you in, contacting our vocational director, who's in charge of our shops, and then she can kind of guide us through what we could do. We can have that discussion. Maybe we set up a booth or something. I don't know.
Okay, I appreciate that. Yeah.
No question.
Great. Thank
right.
you.
Thank
You're
you.
Welcome.
Don't get blown away out there. So windy.
Did you fly up tonight?
Yeah.
I do know. That's great.
Yay.
Where are we? All right.
You can now do public comment if
you. Oh, public comment, Bob. Did you have public? We waited for you.
Oh, well, thank you.
Public comment to you, Bob.
I was told between 6 and 6:15.
So yeah, we had a little change in the schedule, so.
Good. Well, I just wanted to come and give my sense of update on the windows. I've been in contact with Hilma, and I was worried that we were coming up to the deadline for submittal. And I didn't know who the other people were, but I knew that Jade and Mr. Haywood had been contacted and were sent prospectus, and they had to get their bids back in. I stopped to see Jade, and she said that she was not going to submit. She was trying desperately to retire and knew that this was way too big a project and did not want to take it on. Mr. Haywood said that when he got the initial information, it mentioned that the person would have to restore and also do the storm windows. And he did not feel either capable or the desire to do storm windows. And so that's why he did not submit a proposal and a bid. Now, my feeling, a lot of people's feeling, is that that being the case, and since nobody else has submitted a bid, I would make a request that maybe you consider doing the restoration. Mr. Haywood had said he would have done it, he would have submitted, if it didn't involve the storm windows. And I would request that you consider doing the restoration with somebody who says they're willing to do it, so we can get started on it, and then have to deal with, you know, if you still want storm windows, do that later. But my feeling is, you know, we've waited so long. There was the fundraising push. We raised the funds. We got them done. Lots of people have been asking me, hey, when is stuff going to get started? And I believe that if we were able to get started on the restoration, now obviously it's probably not going to happen in the winter, although maybe he did.
Well, that's the thing. It can happen in the winter.
Yeah. I know.
Because it's inside work.
He suggested when initially he looked at it, he said he didn't have to take them all out. You know, he could do a window at a time. There was ways that they
could not all at the same time, right?
Yeah. And so the project could get started. There would be a clear and present view that people could see that work was being done. And I think that would be a really good show of faith to the people who raised funds, many of whom were brought in by the fact that it was a restoration and not a replacement. And so that would be my request, that you would consider and then go ahead and maybe contact Mr. Haywood and say, would he be interested in just doing the restoration part? And I don't know if you have feelings on that or questions.
So we did a brief review of this a little bit earlier.
Uh-huh.
And the plan is, so Hilma did reach out to a handful of different entities, not just those two people, there were others
also.
So that list has been sent, Hilma sent that to me,
And in the next couple of days, I'm gonna reach out to all of the people on that list and get feedback as to why they may not have chosen to provide numbers. And now I have this information about Haywoods, so I'm gonna reach out to them anyways. They're right down the road from me at work. So I am gonna reach out and talk with them, and we were just gonna get all that information, pull it together, see if there were other hurdles for which another company may have chosen not to proceed for some reason. And then if there are others or just Mr. Haywood that is willing to do a portion of the project, then to get them to put a proposal together. So that's kind of what the next step is. I'm actually doing that in the next couple days. I'm gonna be contacting all those people.
And how many other sponsors?
And some of it could be, you know, just schedule in general. I've gotta see if some people just didn't bid because a schedule was an issue, or they just had no interest, whatever. I'm gonna try to get that information pulled together. And how many were there?
There were a total of seven.
I don't know, I don't have it right in front of me.
Yeah, initially there were six or seven, but like Jade came back and said she wasn't bidding on it.
Right.
And then somebody else came back and said that he basically builds new, like historically accurate, but brand new. He doesn't restore. Mm-hmm. So no, he wasn't gonna bid on it. There's another one that actually I couldn't even track down current information, so I'm wondering if there's old information out there and the person has retired themselves. But then there were three.
Yeah, I'm looking.
Haywood and the place in Newton, and I thought there was a third one.
Grateful Glass.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
So it's not, definitely not on hold. Nothing, there's gonna be the next step. We just have to get through this January 6th date, which we did yesterday. Mm-hmm. And now we're taking the next step. And yeah, we're gonna have to push as much as we can to find someone to commit to all or a portion thereof. And is the grant specific to the windows and the storms? I'd have to look back at
yes.
the...
That's what I wrote it for. But there's nothing that says we have to go with one contractor.
No.
To
no.
do the whole thing. So yeah, maybe.
I just think that if whatever we deviate or whatever different direction we go, we have to make sure that it's all good through the grant.
Yeah, we'd have to get
funder.
If we have to get one contractor to do the window restoration of the wooden one windows.
Right.
And then another company to do storm windows, you know, then we have to do that.
Do we know there's no asbestos on those? And the room falls silent.
Yeah.
And the room falls silent.
There'll be asbestos in the windows.
Because I can tell you that there's 80 historical ones I'm taking out now, and they all have asbestos in the
in
no, portions thereof, the storms and the windows. The cop.
You mean like in the in the wall?
No.
Or in the
actually in the window frame?
In the actual window, the glazing compound, the bead.
Oh, the glazing on the window, the glass window.
Interesting.
No, they hadn't discovered asbestos when those windows were constructed.
Tested.
if the windows, I mean, the windows obviously have to be restored historically. I'm assuming that there was no storms back in, you know, 150 years ago. So the storms don't have to be historically, I mean, that has nothing to do with being restoring. And,
no.
So you could have any company come in and do storm windows.
Yeah, you could be replaced.
Well, what's there, I mean, what's left of what's there? I mean, it's the aluminum frame combination
right, so
storm and screen. Yes.
Yeah, so, I mean.
That's why I'd like
right.
to, I'm curious how the grant actually, does it say restore them? Or could those?
The storms?
Yeah.
No.
Okay.
Just
the windows.
They'll restore the windows, the wooden. windows and the sashes.
And install storms.
And install storms.
New storms.
Yep.
Oh, okay. All right. So, yeah, there's no reason why any of those people. So we could, well, let me do the phone call so we can get the feedback and see what the responses are from different groups.
See how we need to move forward.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then we
could
create a new request, basically, or a addenda to the old request.
Yeah, an amendment.
Amendment, whatever,
yeah.
And send that out to all of the people who it went to originally, because you'd have to do that, and give them the same opportunity.
Oh, you do?
I think so. Once it's
even,
gone
like
out.
Even the guy that, I mean,
unless it goes out as a new one.
Oh.
You know what I'm saying?
Oh, right, and addenda does have to go to everybody.
Right. I think that's it.
Well,
so,
one way or the other.
Yeah, I mean, it's not a big deal. Even if it's just,
right.
That would be the quickest, is to have an addenda, like extending the date and changing the
mm-hmm.
description to whatever it needs to be to get the quote, because we still need the quotes. Yeah.
The other thing I did is I contacted Christian Witsit, who lives in Sheldon Falls.
Yes.
He's part of Witsit Architects. And he's on the State Historical Commission as one of, I think, three people who are expert in window restoration. And I had originally asked him if he knew anybody, and he recommended both Jade and Mr. Haywood.
Yeah.
And then he sent another one, which I passed along to you.
That's the one I can't track down current information on.
Ah, okay. I mean... He didn't say, here's somebody I know who does. He says, these are the people who we have used in the past.
Yeah.
So I asked him, does he know, because the last time I spoke with him, it was, I don't know, 7 months ago or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And I asked him, did he know any others? Just so that if he came up with some names,
mm-hmm.
I'd try to get those to you as quickly as possible as well.
Well, I got... Oh, there's an organization called Preservation Massachusetts,
mm-hmm.
I believe is the one. I've looked at a couple of them.
Yeah, there's several.
That, and I printed out a long list of window restorers.
Mm-hmm.
Most of whom were in Massachusetts. There were a couple in New Hampshire,
yeah,
Vermont.
Yeah.
However, many of them were... like far, far away. I mean, like the Cape or wherever. I did send out to a company that's located in Newton, because I figured that would be doable in a way if, you know, it was a large enough, I felt like it was a large enough project, and Newton is a couple hours, you know, if they came out here, picked up four windows or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah, which is probably how it was going to have to be done anyway.
Yeah.
Right?
So.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And then I would just ask if you would let me know how it's going. You know,
yes.
With
yeah.
any new stuff that comes up, I'd appreciate it, because people ask me, and
yeah.
I like to be able to give them the latest info.
Yes, certainly.
So
but when we're in holding pattern, there's no news.
I've made stuff up, but I don't like to be honest. I prefer to tell the truth. But if the lie is necessary,
No. Yes, we'll keep you. So yeah, I'm going to make a bunch of calls in the next couple of days. So.
Okay, and like I said, if I hear something back from Christian,
that'd be great.
You know.
Is is the one that he gave you, the old window workshop cooperative?
Yes, in Springfield, or one of the, yeah, Springfield.
Yeah, I just pulled it up as Worthington, so.
And, right, and then it was Worthington, which seemed newer, but then it's like.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Bob.
Yeah. You're welcome. It's worth a shot.
So. So do you want to go back? Did you want to talk more about the leasing, licensing, appraisal, go back where we were, or I mean, we're going to continue to talk about it the next couple of weeks too, so.
I kind of shared what I had. Will, what are your thoughts about leasing? Renting space, municipal space, do you have thoughts?
As far as, well.
Is it a good idea, bad idea?
I think it's a good idea.
Monetarily, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, makes sense.
Right, no, business-wise, it does, yeah.
All have the same idea, same vision.
I do think as we continue down it, it will be, make good sense to have clear guidelines for both sides. You know, what are our expectations? What's the, somebody else's expectation, whoever's going to be leasing and whose responsibilities and that type of thing, so.
Yeah, that having a key person who is overseeing all of it.
Right.
I think we kind of need that person.
I have a question.
Of course.
Okay. Listening to you describe like all the advantages of doing an RFP, it seemed to me like the only difference between an RFP and a rental license is they get to tell us what they think it's worth in terms of rent as opposed to a rental license, and it's more we saying the rent is this amount. I mean, basically in a rental license, you can still stipulate all the terms.
Right, but you're just doing that to one person.
Yeah.
Where you're not advertising to see who else is out there. I think that's the biggest difference, right? Going through the process of the RFP is getting the word out there.
Right.
Doing the due diligence of seeking other people who might be interested in, I don't know, doing another school or doing... I don't know if there's anybody out there that wants to open an accounting business. That'd be funny. I don't know. Anybody who wants to be a realtor, needs an office, or is working out of their home and doesn't want to anymore. They'd rather come in, or they don't have good internet, even though they should by now. Maybe there's someone who doesn't have it. I mean, who, I don't know, still.
Right? A few.
Still folks. And... I think we talk about the fact that we have space available. We talked about it in the other building. I think we should, if we're going to lease, we should put it out there for anybody else who might have interest. Obviously, there's certain things that we don't want to have here, like you said. We need to be certain that we're all on the same page about the things we don't want, or that won't work, or that we shouldn't have, or not able to have, however you want to phrase it. But so that's the only, that's what I'm thinking, is it gives us the information whether there's anyone else who has interest or not, which is something we just don't know, unless all of a sudden everybody starts, hears this meeting and says, ooh, they're getting ready to talk about those rooms again, we need, maybe I have interest and so I want to reach out.
The only other question I have, and this is more, is if you start leasing stuff out, are you then opening yourself up to requirements for sprinklers, for things like retrofitting the building for certain things? Are we on the hook for that? I'm just asking the question.
Well, we haven't been yet,
but
things change. So that's where I was going with it. I agree with you, the concept behind for which you could do either one could be the same, right? We could not negotiate anything also. We could put our terms, this is the term, send that license out, this is it, sign it or not. Mm-hmm. But yes, I agree with you on that. Around the same thought. And that's pretty much what we've done. Now we're gonna see if there are sticking points. We know there's sticking points that are gonna come back. One of the things in my mind is, you can say that you want X amount for a space, but if nobody's willing to pay it, but you don't know that, right? You don't know that because you haven't sent it out there. You haven't checked to see if anyone's interested. Like you don't, you keep fighting that fight and say you want it, but if nobody's willing to, pay it, then you have to make a decision. Do I want to drop down lower? And where is it that I want to go no lower than? Mm-hmm. And at what level does anything that comes with the agreement to continue the process, whatever it is, when is it not worth it for the money that you're giving in? Those are some of the things in my mind. Like, I don't know if there's anybody else that's interested in leasing mm-hmm. space in this building right now, because nobody has brought forth a proposal, and we haven't asked for it.
Mm-hmm. It hasn't been known that it's available.
Right. Well, I think some people know because we go through this every year. We talk about it. But if you don't, right, if you don't listen to the recordings and hear all of the ins and outs of it, you wouldn't know. I know it's more work because you got to put out the RFP. You got to put that together and that, I know. Which has a value. Even if you're doing it, it's your time. And so let's, can we think about that, and we'll talk about it again next week. So next week, just two items on the agenda anyways would be the two lists we should be reviewing, hopefully. We'll be reviewing a list from National Grid, and we'll be reviewing a list from Hilltown Youth. But any other? And Hilma will not be here with us.
I will not be here.
Is Nancy coming or no?
Oh dear, I didn't even ask her. Are you the secretary this year?
One person is curious.
One person's very curious.
Well, I was going to say one of you is the secretary.
It's me.
That's the person who's curious.
Please tell Nancy can come.
I
tell her I'm begging her.
I will ask her.
But yes, thank you. Sure.
I did mention that the point is we should have two lists. So we should have something to make it easy to take notes, because
mm-hmm.
right. there should be a
right.
two.
Maybe that's why I didn't.
But Elisa would like to see if she could come. So.
Elisa would like that.
No, I get that. It's hard to take minutes and be fully engaged in
mm-hmm.
discussion.
All right, so everybody knows where we stand with Hilltown Youth. Next week, we just, like I said, going to talk about their response back, talking points, and then they're coming on the 21st at 7 p.m.
Yes. Finance Committee can come the 21st as well.
Oh, good.
What time are they coming?
5? Did I put you guys?
I said 5 o'clock. I think it, on the agenda, I think it says join the select board at some later time.
Well, the only thing is I just don't want a big like gap between
that's right.
Finance Committee and if any of them are interested in that conversation, 7 o'clock.
And 7 o'clock, right. Because I told Dina, I met with Dina the end of last week to talk about budgeting and all that good stuff. And then I also said that on the 21st, after meeting with Finance Committee, you were going to meet with the theater group and stuff, and that she might be interested in staying for that part.
So you may want to just clarify one of you.
Yeah.
That the Hilltown Youth lease license conversation isn't until 7, so if you want to figure out what time you actually want to be meeting so you're not all just sitting around, or all of us sitting around, because one of the things I had said to Hilma was that if we don't have a lot of things on schedule that can fill the time, we could push our start time a little bit,
mm-hmm.
you know, like to 5:30 or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. DLTA.
Yeah, so this just came in this morning. I made a paper copy for each of you. since it's brand new for Will. This is something that FERCOG has done, I don't know, several years anyway. And it's like they do a survey of all their member towns of kind of like, what's it, your highest priorities of what you want to work on the coming year, what you want to explore, what areas would you, you know, like to try to get grants for, all of that kind of stuff. Part of it, and part of the purpose, is they then take the results and, you know, let's say Heath picks out something like abandoned and distressed property inventory in action, because I know that's something that that has been a topic of conversation in some groups in town. And so maybe there's five other towns who indicate that's also one of their high priorities, and then FERCOG would like contact all the towns that indicated it's a high priority and kind of get more information. What do you want to see? What are you hoping to accomplish? What do you need in your town? Is there a way that we can get this all together, write a regional grant, or you know, how can, kind of FERCOG saying, how can we help you move forward? So, in essence, it's like if you read the instructions, at a later date, you know, it's like picking out what you think the highest priorities are. I also tend to send it out I'll send it out to Planning Board, Board of Health, Council on Aging. Yeah, get there if they ask them if they want to give any input.
I do see one typo in the letter.
I didn't.
We will prioritize projects based on the following criteria. And if we go down to the second thing, it says projects that can be largely completed within the program's time period by 12/31/24.
Whoops.
I think we have a problem there.
They 25. Forgot to update it.
Yeah, anyway, that's.
But weird. Yeah.
Yep. Minor.
And then it's usually it's like during a meeting and they would like these back by the end of January.
Okay.
So maybe that's what you want to do with your in-between hour on January 21st, is you usually discuss like what you've each put, what you have in common, you know, why you put what you did, and come up with final results that I then send into FERCOG. So.
All right, so we will put this on the agenda. Everybody will go through it. Check off what you feel is important. And a request from what, town clerk for letter?
Oh yeah, so
what is
Mary's getting ready to send out the annual street lists, street census to all the residents. And so she just said, do you know if the select board want to send out a letter of any kind that would get enclosed with the street lists?
You mean like a letter, an update type thing, like we've done in the past?
Whatever.
Yes.
And
well, sorry.
So,
hey, do you have any interest?
You know,
yes, I just said this, didn't I? Like a week ago or something.
Yeah. So, yeah. You know, she's thinking like, if you have thought of sending out a letter, we might as well save $300 worth of postage, essentially. So, yeah. They could be sent together.
When does the census have to go out?
A couple weeks.
We
before the end of February. Excuse me,
well,
before the end of January.
Yeah, but that's just for the past couple of months.
Yeah, no, and then add to it. And
well, I've written several of them.
That's what I mean.
So we can pull
stuff
all
from,
of them.
Yeah, and create a, well, it can't be too many.
Right,
want
but we can pull from.
Want, yeah.
No, understood.
Yeah.
And I can resend all of those to each of us so that we see it.
Yeah.
If you want. Okay. Oh, and do I have the okie dokie for this one? The one that's supposed to go in?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I couldn't find my one from before, so I couldn't remember if we had welcome Tyson.
We did. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I always look at the one before.
Yeah. I couldn't find
So, Bill, did you have a chance to read it too?
Yeah.
And it looked okay to you?
Yes,
okay.
It did.
All right, great. So, we can give the Heath Herald.
But yeah, I think if we could do that, that'd be great.
All together.
Okay. So Elisa's going to draft something and then she'll send it to me.
Oh, yes. That's what she said, I think.
That's not what I
said.
Let me be clear. I said I would pull together the year's worth of Select Board town reports.
Yeah, that's fine.
And send them to you and Will so that we can review them and say, okay, these look like the hot
highlight.
And we'll pull it together.
Yeah.
Together.
Together.
Yeah. So you don't have together time.
What?
When do we have to have it ready by? Give us our date.
Oh.
It should be done by the conclusion of the meeting January 21st,
okay.
In my opinion.
Okay. Well, if you send those to us.
And you can't chit-chat back and forth.
So
we could talk
email.
Next week.
You'll have to, okay.
We could at least highlight the stuff together next week. I'll add one more thing to the agenda.
Okay.
Right, if you can get them to us before next Tuesday.
Yeah.
And then we can review them, and we can highlight, and then we can.
Sure. Make it happen.
Hopefully, we just pull sentences and just put them.
Yeah, seriously.
Yeah.
It should just
highlight.
Be It should just be cut and paste.
And then think about anything that's coming down the pike that we want to tell people.
Okay.
All right. Mail.
Okay.
You need to go?
I'm going to have to excuse myself.
No. Do you want to be here for the mail? Do you want to
keep going? No, I'm sorry. You keep going.
You sure?
Yep.
Mail. Did we have a mail list?
No. Yeah, it was short.
No.
Yeah.
Well, you had mail.
You guys
I
carry
didn't
on.
Make a list because it was
that's
only
fine.
Like three things. Or...
I think most of the mail, I think we've talked about it anyways. So the first part of the mail was communication back and forth about use of the gymnasium floor with Hilltown Youth. And that's going to be talked about in the next couple weeks when we meet as a group. Then we have just information from Elisa and Bill that National Grid was on Avery Brook.
I can tell you about that if you want.
Sure.
So I noticed, not on Taylor Brook, not on Avery Brook.
Sorry, Taylor Brook.
So when you come off of just at the top of Avery Brook, there's about three or four new stakes with National Grid pole numbers on them that are not within 3 feet of another pole. So there's presumably new poles going in. I don't know if they have anything to do with the three-phase power, but then there's about six or seven poles on the way down Taylor Brook that have been marked to come out.
Hmm.
Taylor Brook. So then that's the question, is what's going on Taylor Brook. So I don't know if it has anything to do with three-phase power, but certainly any equipment that's going to be necessary to pull poles and reset poles is going to be big stuff, and it's definitely going to shut that road down. So they got to tell us.
Well, they can't. Well, they have to for the new poles.
New
if
poles
they're with, not
has
within
to be
the,
hearing.
If, they got, if
yeah.
they're going to shut the road down?
Well, I said this in a meeting today. Do you want to have them call the town and let you know what's going on? Have John shut them down once or twice.
Well, yeah. I mean,
say,
if they show up.
I'm just saying, they... One person's opinion of what should be done is not necessarily the other person's opinion of what should be done.
Well, when you close the road down at that point, which I'm
telling
you, that
yeah,
the equipment
no,
necessary
they shouldn't be,
for that is
right,
big.
Right.
That
I know, I hear what you're saying. However,
well,
I've lived in this town a lot longer than you have, and I've seen utility trucks on a lot more roads than you have.
Well,
And they.
I was in some of those utility trucks. I'm not here, but.
But you are correct. I mean, we should be addressing.
Lack of communication.
I
think all of this should be addressed in a much bigger forum, but.
Yeah.
I think that.
I agree. I'm not.
Yeah.
I mean, John, I think we should be telling John that if roads are just all of a sudden being shut down and we have no warning, that's not acceptable, and that he has to act on it and then shut that down. It's like a shutdown, and then say, you know, you're going to need to go back another day.
Right.
Get your road. You know, notify us. Notify. They don't notify anybody. Yeah, Barbara.
I will email
John.
No, I will. Well, I'll copy him in it, but I will email the National Grid people.
Right, but those people, I mean, our people for the project, I mean, they'll have to pass it on to whoever's in
Bob
charge.
No, Bob Ide.
I'm sorry, but let me just finish this thought. It's definitely National Grid because those stakes are marked NG with pole numbers.
Yeah.
So it's definitely, it's not a Verizon project. It's not, it's National Grid.
Yeah.
Okay.
Barbara.
I was just going to say, since there's going to be the poll hearing on the 14th. 16th.
14th is our
meeting. Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, on the 16th. Could this be floated to them as questions to be answered at that time? I mean, it's right around the corner.
We can ask them. I mean, technically, it's not part of what the poll hearing is, but yeah, we can ask them any questions we want to. Probably, if we get our list by the 9th, which we're supposed to.
We can't.
Well, we could ask. You can ask, and they can decide whether they want to answer it or not. But
I mean, I just thought if they were asked
all sorts
ahead
of
time,
got asked at the poll
if they were floated these questions.
That doesn't mean they were supposed to be.
Well,
if they were floated the questions ahead of the meeting, the poll hearing, they might have time, even though it might not have anything to do with the poll hearing or the project, they might be willing to actually bring information instead of just saying, we don't.
Right.
If you don't hit them with the question until that night, they can easily just say, that's not part of our.
Right. I mean, it is very true that the poll hearing is only for certain polls.
Right.
Since they're here asking us.
You can close the poll hearing and then say, can we ask you these other questions?
Yeah.
But at the last.
That's different than asking them during a poll hearing.
At the last poll hearing, they were willing to talk about other things.
Right. Well, because questions were asked if things had to do with the polls being installed at the poll. That was part of the poll hearing.
Well, that's different.
Yeah. Well, I think
I don't know.
I think
it's
all
up at the top of Avery Brook.
It
could be
of one
part
project.
Of that.
Ultimately, they will have to have a poll hearing for the Taylor Brook Road.
Yes,
stuff
if
too,
there's
because
no
there's
right.
polls that are not 3D right. from other polls. So
right.
They're going to have to have a poll hearing on that as well.
Okay.
So.
Yeah, sure. I mean, I get that.
Yeah.
I think they're going to have a poll hearing for whichever direction it is. Resetting poles down here for the bridge, but they haven't done that yet, and they're supposed to move them in the next month or so.
Oh,
but
yeah.
I know they're setting poles that are more than 3 feet from.
What is the recourse?
Is that part of the construction project?
Yes.
Is that treated differently?
I don't know, actually. But
and are they permanent placements or temporary?
They're temporary.
Yeah, that
may
be.
Is
that may
different?
Be different. Yeah.
Didn't we have to approve that months and months ago? Some polls?
Not the poll hearing. We
not
have to approve obtaining the
land
right of way.
Yeah.
I thought
it's
it was
what
something
they call
the polls
it.
During that time.
I don't remember.
It was, well, it was for the polls.
It's for the polls, right.
It was
that's
to relocate
saying,
the polls, but that had to do with the land, not setting a pole in it.
Right. So it might be different for construction on a temporary basis.
Okay.
I'm not sure. I don't know. I'd have to
You know, look into that. Barbara just asked, what's the recourse? Well, the recourse is you're here asking us about, they're having a poll hearing, can we do this? Maybe we can't do anything about this over here, but if you're going to come ask us for this and you're not going to address that, then have a good day. You know, that's the recourse.
Some would say, could say, right?
That wasn't my question, though.
No, you mean recourse.
I was saying if they were setting poles more than 3 feet away without a poll hearing, if they were acting against the rules.
They can be reported.
Right.
You?
Well, it's against the agreement, so you'd notify them that they broke the agreement, basically.
Yeah.
Do you guys have this called BPU?
They violated federal regulations.
Right. That's what I wondered. But yeah. That isn't necessarily what's happening. I've just wondered.
No.
What becomes of that? I'm not sure. They probably have to stop and then go to the poll and apply for a poll hearing, I guess, probably.
And pay a fine to someone other than us.
Exactly.
Yes.
Right.
You file BPU charges when a utility goes to ask the government, can we want to do a rate increase?
Mm.
If there's a lot of BPU complaints, they usually don't get it.
Which behooves them to follow the rules.
The rules, right. Which they usually do. All right, the next item in the mail was this letter, which I have not read yet, I'll be honest. Well, I looked at it briefly.
That's okay if you haven't read it. It's okay if you haven't read it tonight. The Veteran Services?
Yeah, the Act Honoring, Empowering, and Recognizing Service Members and Veteran, the HERO Act, Chapter 178 of Acts 2024, allowing cities and towns in Massachusetts to adopt Section 23, which adds two new veteran property tax exemption clauses. And this has to be, the town votes to accept it.
Correct.
One or both, I guess. Right.
So basically, sometime in the next couple of months, you folks, it would be helpful to read it, but you folks will need to discuss and decide if it's something that you want to bring before the voters in May.
So, I don't know if you read through it, but there's some follow-up pages that talk about that.
Yeah.
So if we could look at that, we... And it clearly says that it has to go in front of the voting body, so. So I scanned it, I just haven't read it line for line. So we'll look at that with more depth. And that's it, right?
That's it.
That was the end of the mail.
Yeah.
That was the end of the mail, other than the pieces you were sent directly, which was the tech information. So. That's everything. Did I miss something?
No, the only other thing I wanted to say, which, and I haven't figured out how I'm going to do it yet, Thursday, I will be watching the memorial service for the late President Carter, which is at 10 o'clock. So, and I don't know if I'll sit here and do it or if I'll go back home or what, but.
Okay. All right. So we have two agendas we've kind of talked through. The one next week will be just reviewing the response from Hilltown Youth, the response from National Grid, and we will talk through the letter to the residents from the Select Board. And then on the 21st, you're going to kind of juggle around the times for the appointments that we have with Finance Committee. We know we have Hilltown Youth at 7 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to discuss the DLTA report and give you our numbers, our choices. We will have an update on the windows, the salt shed, all those type of good projects moving forward.
FinCom.
And we'll hold off with Tyson until the next meeting we have, because I don't think we have anything much to discuss with him until February again. And remind me, how long has he been here?
Oh. Yes. January 23rd, it will be...
Bye, Ned.
It will be 90 days, so he needs a review by somebody. Performance review.
Okay.
So...
You want me to do that?
I don't care who does it, but somebody's got to do it.
You want to do it? You want me to do it?
Sure.
You want to do it?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, is there a form I follow, or I just...
Oh, yes, there is.
Okay, so I can sit down. Do what, I just go and sit with him in his office and cover stuff?
Yeah, yeah, or we can do it together.
Yeah.
Thought that would be helpful.
That would be helpful.
Survey was lost on me.
Plus, because I have a lot of, well, and I've had, well, I don't know, we probably have two, but I have a lot of interaction with him.
Yeah.
Observation.
Yeah.
What he's been up to.
I communicated with him 3 or 4 times a week.
Yes.
Yep. Yeah, so I just didn't want to miss that date.
Right. And then you guys have to think about
adjusting his pay.
Adjusting his pay.
Tyson is going to be due for
yep.
3 months.
Already?
And
no. When?
January 20th.
January 23rd.
You don't think it's felt like that?
No, not at all.
Once again, I say, well, if you, yes, it has been that long. Trust me, the winter has been that long.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
Yeah, happy.
Yeah, so that whatever, one of those meetings in the beginning of February. You can have them come in and actually have that conversation. Because hopefully you will have met by then.
Which, oh, about his wage?
Well, just in general, about his job, his performance, his
sure.
thoughts about, what do you think?
February 4th, I think, is...
It can wait. And when we're meeting with Finance Committee on the 21st, we'll come up with a plan for ongoing meetings.
Mm-hmm. So
what week will be the Finance Committee, and what week will be just our regular Select Board meeting?
Mm-hmm.
And whether they can do 5 o'clock. I don't know if they as a group can, or if it'll have to go out to 6 o'clock for that week. All right, what else? Anything, Will?
Not at this point.
Alisa?
No, thank you.
Elma?
Happy birthday.
Thank you.
Yes.
Happy
birthday.
Are you both the same day? Or
no.
No.
It was 2 days ago. She's 2 days from now.
This was right in the middle.
Yeah.
Right in the middle. Thank you. Thank you for snacks, Alisa.
You're welcome.
Very nice. I'm going to take a cupcake home.
Yes, please do.
Because she made them from scratch.
I did.
I hear.
Oh, awesome.
She's so proud of herself. She goes, I'm so proud.
I've never done that before.
Did you eat one?
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
no,
okay.
I tested everything before I came in. Please.
I watched Bill eat one.
Billy and I tested
them
first.
He's still sitting there smiling.
Yes, I am.
But,
well, swelling on the outside.
I'm sure they're delicious.
Very good.
They did all right for first cupcake.
That's great. So, thank you.
Yeah,
thank you, everyone.
It was fun.
All right. So I'll take a motion. Somebody.
I make a motion. We adjourn at 6:59. Yeah.
I second that motion.
Further discussion? All in favor?
Alisa, aye.
Will, aye.
Robin, aye.